You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Well, well, well. What do we have here? That doesn't look like an intern.
How are you there, intern?
I'm doing
well. How nice of you to actually decide to show up.
How are you? I'm doing well.
You got a working phone now?
I do have a working phone.
I swear, it sounds awfully fishy, like the dog ate my homework on how I couldn't contact you the last couple of days.
Are you serious?
I'm just saying.
I broke it skiing.
Skiing. Wow.
And
all of us
are
working, bearing, you know, making it through the cold. And what are you doing?
I was in Tennessee.
We were in Tennessee. We got a lot to talk about here on today's show on the Sports Hangover. As tomorrow starts college baseball, we have college football as well. We'll get into all that in a quick second. Got plenty of Pels to get into as well.
Zion, right wing Reddick, shot fake, back to Z, splits defender, center of the lane, and the monster throwdown from the rafters.
Yeah, just as a tease.
Lonzo, jump feed out to Zion, left corner three, yeah! Second night in a row, they leave him open. He sizes it up and calmly knocks it down.
Just a tease of what I'm going to talk about next segment. Last night's loss, 126-124. Fun game with the number four team right now in the Western Conference, a hot team. What I saw was an MVP candidate taking on this. And this will be explained, at least by me, next segment. I'm going to get into that here on what I took out of the game yesterday. Going to focus on college baseball today. Head coach Paul Maneri, the LSU Fighting Tigers, will join us here shortly. Blake Dean at the bottom of the hour to give us UNO. Got Travis Jewett at 1:15. Tulane getting set to start their season against the Raging Cajuns this weekend. Jay Sullivan with Nichols. So we'll focus on that as well. Plus, Tim Rebo's got a college football game tomorrow. So we'll talk to him here as well. Hour two wide open. We'll talk about the Pels. But again, I know it doesn't feel like it, but college baseball is up and running and ready to go. At LSU Baseball is the way to follow the Tigers over on Twitter. You probably already know that. And of course, you know our first guest on the show, head coach Paul Maneri, the LSU Fighting Tigers. Coach, how are you today?
Hey, Gus, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Little different with the weather, right, than it normally is. I mean, I know we start in February normally, but it's been interesting in Baton Rouge. How are you? How's the team? How are things? I know Baton Rouge has been hit pretty hard with a lot of ice in the last couple of days.
Yeah, well, the team is ready to go. We're chomping at the bit to start our season back up after having last year, you know, the rug pulled out from under us. And we've actually had great weather up until about a week ago, and then it turned, you know, made such a drastic turn. I can't ever remember it being this cold right before the season began, that's for sure. But, you know, we're going to try to get out on the field for about an hour today, even though it's pretty frigid, and we'll, you know, figure out what to do for tomorrow. And then by Saturday, they're talking about temperatures in the 50s and sunny, so it'll still be chilly, not what we're normally used to here. But the temperatures are going to keep gradually rising, and hopefully the season, you know, will go into full swing and we'll have some good weather. But everybody's excited about playing. There's no question.
And Coach, I bring up the weather to start our conversation and our annual season preview because of weather, there is no game tomorrow. So your first game will be Saturday against Air Force at 1, 12 o'clock against Notre Dame. Monday now, Louisiana Tech, 6:30. The Tuesday game has been moved to later on with Southern. So that's why I'm starting with weather, Coach, because schedule is going to have to be. Look, I would normally say you have to deal and learn how to, I guess, go with the flow on certain things. But you guys have sort of done that. The last time I talked to you, the season came to an abrupt end. You guys had a 4-game win streak. What's that process sort of been like since the last time we chatted when the season ended, school year ends, and now we're getting ready to start a new year?
What's that process been like? It's been pretty crazy. These last 11 months have been something that I've never experienced before, and we're still dealing with it. Gus, you know, the weather is something we deal with typically, but, you know, this COVID pandemic as it relates to college baseball is something that's so unique and so forth. And in fact, Gus, I'll give you a little bit of scoop here right now that Notre Dame just canceled coming to Baton Rouge because of COVID issues within their program. So our game Sunday against Notre Dame will now be a game Sunday against the Air Force Academy at noon. So our schedule doesn't change in terms of how many games we play and what times we play, but now we'll be playing the Air Force Academy twice and Louisiana Tech once instead of having Notre Dame in there. But, you know, and this is what we told our players a long time ago, that you're going to have to deal with sudden change constantly in this spring. You know, games are going to get canceled because of COVID within different programs. We're going to have to adapt and change and be willing to accept those changes without any degree of panic or bad attitude, because the teams that are willing to and are able to adapt to change quickly will be the teams that will succeed this spring. And I'd like to see our team succeed. So the attitude amongst the players is going to be critical.
So that's the overall, I guess, message and feeling, knowing that you're about to enter a season pretty competitive. Coach, you lost a pair of second-round picks last year in Cole Henry, Daniel Cabrera, but pretty much returned everybody else. One of the reasons, I guess, you guys are, you know, in the polls, kind of high, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, pick your poll, that's where you're at. But the one thing I noticed as I got ready to chat with you today is that's kind of nothing new in the SEC. 10, a couple of years ago, going to postseason, I'm reading things that there may be as many as 12 teams in the SEC in postseason play this year.
I'm surprised that 13 and 14 aren't in as well. You know, we've benefited greatly by the fact that the NCAA granted in the year of eligibility to the kids that were seniors last year. So we have Matthew Beck and Aaron George back. We also benefited by the shortened draft. It was only a 5-round draft last year. So we have players back that we didn't anticipate coming back, like A.J. Labus, like Devin Fontenot. And we also benefited by incoming freshmen coming to school because of the short draft. But, hey, so is everybody else in the SEC. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see a very high caliber of baseball across the SEC. It'll be as difficult as it's ever been. I think all the teams are going to be extremely strong. It's going to be a dogfight right to the end every day. So it's going to be exciting. And I'm just happy that we're going to be back out on the field, Gus. Everybody players, coaches, fans have been chomping at the bit to see baseball at the box return, and the weight is getting reduced. We're down to 2 days, and we'll be back out there playing at the box again.
Every year, speaking with head coach Paul Manera of the LSU Tigers, obviously every year you have an idea of what you'd like to do with your team and how your team's going to look, and then it's still a bit of a learning process at the very beginning. Looks like you might have a lot of competition at an infield with some younger players as well, and I guess that's always a good thing, but you don't know, obviously, until you get out there.
Well, Gus, you mentioned, you know, about the two second-round draft choices that we lost, and Daniel Cabrera and Cole Henry, and they were obviously big losses. But we also lost two players that went undrafted, including the kid that was our starting third baseman last year, Zach Mathis. So the left side of the infield has been a little bit in flux in our preseason workouts here, trying to figure out the right combination and the right guys to play third base and shortstop. I think we've settled on Will Helmers, a Jesuit high school boy who really made his name as a pitcher in high school, and he was pitching fabulously for us through fall practice. But he stepped up, and I think he's going to end up being our starting third baseman at the beginning of this season. And shortstop is going to be a little bit of a question mark as well, because Hal Hughes moved on to Rice University. He started quite a bit for us, and last year Collier Cranford played a few games for us at shortstop, but Zach Arnold and Drew Bianco look to be the front runners for that shortstop position. So I think that one's going to play itself out, and we'll see how it goes over the course of these first few games of the season. So just like any typical year, there's always question marks in your everyday lineup. The thing that we don't have question marks about is our pitching staff, and I think we've got a good solid rotation with Jaden Hill, Landon Marceau, and A.J. Labus. We've got an outstanding closer in Devin Fontenot. We've got some veteran guys like Mikhail Hilliard, Matthew Beck, Aaron George, I mentioned Trent Fittmeyer, Brandon Kaminer, Jacob Hasty, you know, guys that have pitched for us in the past coming out of our bullpen. And I like to think that we've got some really special freshman arms, too, that we can kind of pick and choose the moments when we use them. So I'm excited about our pitching staff. I'm excited about our lineup. It's just the lineup's going to be kind of young and unproven, and I think they'll continue to get better as the year progresses.
Speaking with head coach Paul Manera, you know, I think that's one of the things in all the years that we always do this preview, and that it's just one of your strongest, perhaps before the season starts, pitching staffs that you've sort of had.
Did you say this is one of our strongest?
Do you think it is? Yes, it kind of feels like it, doesn't it?
Well, you know, you hate to compare it to other years. We've had some great pitching staffs through the years, and like I said, all the other teams in the SEC are going to be very strong. So we better have a strong pitching staff to be able to be competitive in this league. You know, the league, Gus, is just filled with future first round draft choices, future major leaguers, particularly on the mound. So we need to be ready to compete, and I think this staff will be able to do that.
Coach, a lot's being made of one of your freshmen here, Dylan Cruz. Why so much of the excitement for this young recruit that's going to be a freshman and is going to see some time this year for you?
Yeah, Dylan Cruz is a special talented kid. He's kind of got the makings of the next Alex Bregman. He was highly touted throughout his high school career. The summer before his senior year, he had a little bit of a slump and maybe fell a little bit in the draft prognostications. And he just decided to take his name out of the draft. He wanted to go to LSU anyway. It kind of made the decision easier for him. And I think he's going to be a special talent. And 3 years from now, he should be a first-round draft choice.
Coach, obviously, when you take a look at the starting weekend, we mentioned with some battles, you have an idea of your pitching staff and getting that experience. What is, I guess, the message that you tell the team, and what is it that you want to see in the first few games? Because obviously last year kind of started a certain way, and then you ended on a four-game, you know, win streak. So obviously you want to be peaking later on when we get to warmer temps, Coach, and we get to close into May. But what is your sort of goal that you want to see out of this team early to start the season?
Well, first of all, I'd like to see us win the games. You know, that every day we put the uniform on, we're going to do our best to win the games. And all the games count. They all matter. And even though they're not SEC games right out of the gate, it could definitely affect your, number one, getting a bid. It could affect your being a host for a regional. It could affect you being a national seed, which means hosting a super regional. So every game matters, and you want to get your RPI up as high as you can, and you do that by winning the games that you play. So, again, that's the number one goal. But at the same time, you also know it's a long season, and so you want to make sure you take care of your pitchers. Like Jaden Hill won't go more than three innings in the first start of the year. Landon and A.J. Labus, I don't think, will go more than five or six innings at the maximum, and I don't even know if they'll go that far. So you want to make sure you keep your pitchers healthy. You want to get your team into the flow of the season and start playing games against other teams, develop them, get their confidence going, make the corrections that you need to make fundamentally, and then also figure out which are the right players that you can count on and that you can depend on before you get to SEC play. So we've got, I think it's about 17 or so games before we start SEC play in the middle of March against Mississippi State. And I think we'll find out a lot about our team over the course of these next 4 weeks.
Coach, final question for you. Can you kind of just run down quickly, what's the SEC West going to look like this year?
Honestly, Gus, the SEC West has seven teams that are all capable of winning the SEC West. It's the toughest division in the toughest conference in the country. And you look at the seven teams in our league, okay? Of course, LSU's history speaks for itself. You got Mississippi and Mississippi State that are ranked fourth or fifth in the country each. You've got schools like Texas A&M that are traditional powers. Alabama last year started out 16-1. Auburn was in the College World Series a year or two ago. It's going to be such a dogfight. You can literally lose every game. You could literally lose every game in this league if you don't bring your A game on a given day. And so It's you know, my prediction is that LSU is going to win the SEC West, and that's the way that we go into every year feeling. But, man, it's going to be a dogfight. Every game is going to be a tremendous battle, and it's why you come to the SEC. I mean, it's why you come to LSU, because you want to compete against the best teams in the country that aren't named LSU.
Do you have a plan to maybe not get as angry every single game? Because you know every game's going to be difficult to sort of get. I mean, does it sort of take a certain mental approach knowing that every game is sort of that, though, right? I mean, that every series, every weekend is going to be a battle. It's a little different, right?
Gosh, you just need to be able to be confident and believe in your team, and the players have to believe in themselves. You're not going to win every game. It's just impossible. You look at the major leagues, the best teams in the major leagues lose 60 games a year, right? The Dodgers won the World Series. They lost 60 games. Well, in a normal year, they would have lost 60 games on a shortened season. And that's how the SEC is. You know, the winning team in the SEC generally wins two-thirds of their game. The key is that you can't let one loss carry into another day. And being able to put past failures and even past successes behind you quickly is very key to succeeding for the long term in our conference.
Head Coach Paul Maneri, always enjoy when we get to chat before the season. See what happens here in 2021. The good thing about it is he'll be playing baseball Saturday. So let's play ball.
Right. Well, it's good to be with you, Gus, and hopefully these temperatures will warm up quickly and we won't have too many COVID issues, and as it relates to college baseball, and we'll be able to have a good spring season for our fans to enjoy.
No doubt. Always a pleasure. In 25% capacity at the box, so there will be some folks out there cheering you on at LSU Baseball on Twitter. Coach, good luck this weekend.
Okay, Gus. Thank you.
Yep, for sure. Bye-bye. Don't forget, as he mentioned, Notre Dame not showing up because of COVID issues, so the Tigers will take on Air Force two consecutive days on Saturday and on Sunday. So we'll continue with the sports hangover coming up next. What did I determine yesterday, Jordan? What popped in my head that I am now ready to start to champion from watching that game against the Pels and Blazers? I'll tell you that when we come back on the sports hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Are invited to Greg LeBlanc Toyota's spectacular sales event going on now till the end of the month. Great selections of models and colors to choose from, and deep discounts with huge incentives. This is the time to purchase your new Toyota Camry or Corolla. Exceptional MPG ratings and 2 years free maintenance. This is the event you've been waiting for. Visit our friendly staff at HOMA's number one dealer. Go to Greg LeBlanc Toyota, where you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, where you get the deal.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Can we talk sports? Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
By the way, Zion Williamson's got 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists already.
Triple-double watch.
Now driving right of the lane. Lefty layup. He scooped it up and in as it rolled around the rim once and fell through. A free throw coming up for Zion. So I'm going to say this before I say what it is that I tease. The top of the hour, Tiger Afternoon, voice of the Pels here. Obviously, we, you know, get highlights being the flagship station of your New Orleans Pelicans. And I guess they did a very good job, Jordan, of being fair, right? Being fair. Redick, three. I see Alonzo Ball, three, Hernan Gomez. You know the Cajun goat's going to call
Bledsoe
for this.
Weaving through traffic, you know, stops, this, right? Get it over to Billy. Left corner three, oh my. He hit it! He hit it! His first made three in a Pelican uniform.
I mean,
64-49.
The bench is loving it right now.
You kidding me?
Dude, 11 points for Billy, the Billy trade, 17 rebounds. Jordan, 17 rebounds, 11 points. You know the Cajun goat's ready to call. Anyway, I'm going to say this. Good job for, you know, pulling the highlights and getting everyone love, because basically, Jordan, you could have basically pulled, I don't know, 12 Zion Williamson highlights. 12 of 18 for 36 points. Do you want to know what I took out of it? Obviously, it's a bummer. You lost 126-124. At a great second quarter, 39-24, you won that frame. In the first, it was 35-30. Came out a little bit flat in the third. Lost a 10-point lead that you had. Won the fourth, 33-32. Back and forth you went. We're going to get to the game here in a quick second. But I think the most important thing, Jordan, and it's what I tease going into the break, is what at least I took away out of it. Again, this is my opinion. But I think it's the thing that you should have taken away from yesterday, and I'm going to piggyback on Tuesday. I'm ready to proclaim it. I'm ready to say it, speak it into its existence, and from here on out, it is now the philosophy. And I know it may come not as a big surprise, but I think it's legit. You ready? Why are you giggling?
It
why
sounds
you
like you're giving a testimonial.
No. It's Zion Williamson's team. It needs to be his team. It is his team. And from here on out, everything needs to be about Zion. Wow, Gus, congratulations. That's really easy.
What a take.
Yeah, what a take. That's like, oh, you need a score. No. Hear what I'm saying. My analogy that I'm going to use is something that you can, I think, understand. It's time to give him the keys. I think you're seeing the start of a player that's understanding this truth. He's the best player on that team. I don't know if we could have said that beginning of the season. We saw flashes last year, 19 games. Saw flashes. Saw moments. Remember in the preseason last year against the Bulls? Remember that third quarter? I've referenced it 100 times. I went, oh my goodness, the guy just took over. Yesterday you weren't here, Jordan, but I used the phrase bleep it. Superstars, they say bleep it. They take the ball, give me the ball, I want the ball. They do defense. LeBron hits the backboard on a block. You know, I'll D up the best player. Bleep it. I'm doing it. I got it. I'm not saying he's ready to go there. But you'd have to be blind to not see that he absolutely has that potential. It's not nitpicking and it's not being ugly one way, shape, or form to others. But it was appropriate and right starting this season. Brandon Ingram had just gotten the extension. He was an all-star last year. He's further along. He's a veteran. He upped his game. He was the most improved player in the NBA. The season started with him being the closer, right? Remember, he was taking the game-winning shots. He was taking those final shots. You lived with it. You had early games this season at home where they cleared out. And even at times, it started becoming a detriment to an extent where, you know, you could see him. He was exhausted. It was him. The offense was on him. You were getting out of the guards, right? So it was him. It was him. In some of those games, they lost earlier this season. He was trying to dribble around, trying to get a shot. He was exhausted. He couldn't do it. What has happened, though, in the last 2 weeks? If you've been watching the games, I'm asking you, what have you seen? Even in losses, Jordan, even in losses, even that road trip that was tough, a couple road trips ago, we've been talking about it. Yesterday, I didn't even intend to do it. Andrew Lopez, I intended to ask him several things, but what I saw Wednesday against Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, I wound up talking about Zion the entire segment. I wound up talking about Zion about 2.5 hours yesterday. 31 points against Grizzlies, 36 yesterday, going back and forth with Jordan, an MVP candidate. Damian Lillard's taking that next step. He's already a guy that was Dame time, right? Clutch points, clutch shots. We can give you the stats here throughout the game. I mean, throughout the show. We will. We're going to focus in the 2 o'clock hour statistically. You're going to hear sound. We're going to break it down a little bit. But you can sit there last night and go 126, 124. Oh, man. You almost beat a team that was 8-2 in their last 10. That literally Damian Lillard shooting 30, 35-foot threes. And you know what he did at the end of the game that won it? He passed it. There's a reason people watched the game last night. And, oh, he had an assist. Jordan, he drove and had an assist there late in the game.
Thought it was the and one.
Well, okay, that was the and one, but before that, there was an assist there as well. The point is that guy, there's a reason yesterday during the show I had Todd on at 2:15. And right at the end, the jump brought up the segment, where is Damian Lillard in the MVP candidacy? We have seen Anthony Davis. Remember that one year he was here, he was voted third, but he was the top three that got invited to the NBA awards and all that. And mind you, that took seasons. And even then, you remember before that point, what was the number one criticism of this team? And really, why is he go quarters without touching the basketball? Do you remember I used to pull my hair out? 8-7 minutes. The guy never touched the ball. What happened last night?
Zion didn't touch the ball at the end of the game.
Final possession. Now, we'll play what Stan Van Gundy said. It was supposed to be a pick and roll with Brandon Ingram, but here's the point. You saw it. Before you tweeted, before you said it, even if you didn't go to social media, if you watched the game last night, you watched that last possession going, what in the world? What in the world? And keep in mind, that was game 51. That was game 51. We were saying that about AD seasons in. That was game 51. But you're not wrong. There's some stats that back, I guess, my feeling up here. Shamit Dua tweeted it last night with Will Guillory. This player was 24-38, 10 of 17 from three-point land, 24-22 in the free throw line in this stat category, clutch, this season. Leads the NBA with 82 points, and that team is 12-3 in those games. Do you know who I'm speaking about? Damian Lillard. Again, how many years has he been around? How many times has he done it? He's shown it. Would you agree it's his team?
Absolutely.
Okay, keys are handed to him, right? When the Pels took over, they were up by one. Or who brought the ball up the court? Now, I know he's the ball handler, but you understand what I'm saying. It's him. Team runs through him. In 43 minutes of clutch play this year, Brandon Ingram is 7 of 26. That's 26%. 0 for 7 from 3, has 6 turnovers. For his career, is 58 of 164. That's 35% in clutch situations. I'm not saying that to pick on him. What I'm saying is what I saw last night. Now, I understand it's a much shorter sample. I saw Zion go to the free throw line and knock down clutch free throws. I saw Zion, 2 possessions before the possession at the end of the game, get the inbound pass, left elbow extended, immediately spin to the baseline at the left block, go up, get fouled. It's not what don't even think about this with Brandon Ingram, about him and what he can do, what he can't. Brandon Ingram's good. He's an all-star player. The guy can shoot. He's good. Zion can do certain things that he just can't. And conversely, right? I mean, Brandon Ingram was a much better shooter, quote unquote. But it's harder to make jump shots as opposed to going straight to the basket, either dunking the bejesus out of the ball or kissing it off the glass and getting fouled and going to the free throw line. Zion Williamson right now can do something that Brandon Ingram just can't. It's harder to try to, it's 1, 2, 3 jerseys you saw that were wearing black against Memphis. Yesterday with the Blazers, 1, 2, 3 jerseys that are trying to stop Zion. I'm going to go into this a lot more deeper, but flat out, if you don't look at that game yesterday and go, it's time to give him the keys, and I'll expand on this. Think of it as a learner's permit, but it's time to get him to start driving the car. Period. He's been riding shotgun. I think it's time to give him the keys. Don't you? We'll talk about that open segment coming up at 12:45 for your phone calls on that, and I'll expand a little bit more. Plus, we'll hear from him from last night. But UNO head baseball coach Blake Dean is next on ESPN New Orleans. We're gonna go.
Chrissy is refinancing her home, so she shopped around for the lowest rate and found it at Amerisave.com, setting her up for a lifetime of savings. It's one decision she'll never regret, unlike wearing tap shoes to a surprise party.
Sorry, guys. Just trying to find the perfect hiding place.
Pretty regrettable, Chrissy. Unlike finding that low mortgage rate at Amerisave.com that's got you on your way to a lifetime of savings. Amerisave's rates won't be this low forever, so go to Amerisave.com now. Lower mortgage rates mean higher savings. Call 866-514-SAVE or visit Amerisave.com/licensing for cost information, terms, and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all states except New York. NMLS number 1168.
I'll be right there. We got to redo the whole thing.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
We need to finish these today.
Like at Phil's Machine Shop. To keep carving out more revenue, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Sarah's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
Driving cross-country with two young children is ambitious, to say the least. Then our check engine light came on. We pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts and they tested it. Turned out it was a faulty sensor. They referred us to a great mechanic just down the street and we were back on the road in no time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
What would you say you do here?
Sports. Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Our college baseball preview day continues. Coach Paul Maneri, the LSU Tigers, led things off. Time now to go to the lakefront. I got to imagine it's a bit frigid. Head coach Blake Dean of the UNO Privateers joins us. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good. So, obviously, I was just talking about it with Coach Maneri. With this weather, they were supposed to start Friday. They're not. Now you guys kind of have a schedule change as well, right? Y'all are starting on Saturday against Southern now?
That's right. This scheduling thing is driving me nuts. It changes every 5 minutes with teams dropping, weather, this and that. So I'm ready to start. I'm ready to get going.
So I'm going to start there with you just like I did with Paul. I mean, what's this process been like for you in terms of recruiting, keeping players, getting ready for the season, trying to play baseball, dealing with COVID, scheduling back and forth? He said it's like nothing he's ever experienced, obviously, in his time there, but what's it been like for you? What have been some of the challenges for you?
Absolutely chaotic. That's about the nicest way I could put it. I mean, especially being in New Orleans and with our regulations being a little more strict of certain policies, COVID testing, the capacity of certain people you can have at the stadium, things of that nature. I mean, we haven't, obviously we haven't recruited since basically last season now. So you can't go see these kids. You know, it's creating roster jams. It's doing a lot of things. And what I found out too, a big issue, at least for us, is we've had quite a few injuries just because, again, you're bringing these kids in who hasn't done anything in months. They had barely left the house for, 6 to 8 months, and you come back and throw them into the baseball world again. Well, their bodies are breaking down. It's not accustomed to what they're doing. So it's been all over the place, to say the least. And it's something that, I told these guys, it's tough, but you just got to adapt. You can't make excuses. You just got to figure it out.
And that's what I was going to ask you, too, because that's part of the thing. Obviously, who you're going to play, the schedule, the mindset, that's one aspect of it. But, Coach, you got to get ready for the season. And you can only get ready by actually practicing, right, and playing baseball. And you mentioned the different regulations and things of that nature. How have your kids been able to handle that?
Well, it's been tough. I mean, you know, for all these freshmen we brought in, you know, you come in expecting to go to school. It's already a big transition for you, but now you move everything online, and you're asking an 18-year-old to basically wake up every day and log into a computer and do all these type things when, you know, heck, you could just, you know, sleep in and no one would know the difference. I mean, mm-hmm. So it's been tough, but they've done a really good job transitioning and getting used to it. And then from a practice standpoint, I think everyone was kind of eager to get back, right? Because you didn't play, the season got cut short. From that aspect, it hasn't been that difficult. It's just kind of avoiding, you know, COVID cases, things like that. Just they got to be a little more intelligent about the decisions and moves they make. You know, you mm-hmm. can't go out downtown New Orleans to a party or something on a Saturday night and expect, you know, to be safe when you come back around the team and potentially get tested positive for the COVID and stuff like that. So just a lot of minute changes they've had to make. And as I told these guys, I don't know if this, we might not be the new norm, but you got to adapt, right? You just got to adapt. They've done a pretty good job at it.
Speaking with head coach Blake Teen of the Privateers, you know, coach, I think one of the things that also is maybe something a lot of people and fans kind of don't think about is what you just said too, having those conversations and how much of what the school does and what you try to do at the same time. It's ownership, I guess, as players to try to, if you want to play this season, because just, you know, I'm not going to call it a mistake, but just one lapse of judgment or, you know, just maybe not doing one thing, you could be out, some teammates could be out, and it could affect the season.
There's no doubt. Like I said, every move that is made now, it has to be thought out, and it has, you know, be something that you think about every time you do something. Like I tell these guys, a lot of these seniors, hey, you're not going to get your year back this year. As of now, it could change, but you're not getting your year back, so hey, you know, you go get, you know, hang around some friends that, you know, you haven't been tested, this type of stuff, and happen to catch the corona. Well, now you're out, right? Now your teammates are out. Now these people are out. And again, some instances you can't handle, or, you know, things you just can't do without, you know, making mistakes and things like that. But at the same time, you just got to kind of handle your business the right way. And I will say that our guys have done a really good job about it. It's sometimes tiresome. And, you know, we think about it every day, that how we sit people on the bus, how we're going to feed them, how we do these other things like that, wearing their mask and when they stretch, little things like that to try to avoid outbreaks and things like that. But it's definitely been an adjustment, not just for us, but for everyone.
Yeah, no doubt. And I bet you probably can't wait then to finally actually start concentrating and worrying about baseball. So we'll move to that. But again, want to kind of give folks an overview of how everyone's sort of handling this to be able to play these games. Speaking with head coach Blake Teen, if you want to follow Privateers on Twitter, it's at PrivateersBSB. So coach, for whatever it's worth this season, I think, and I say it like that because who knows what these teams are going to be like because everyone's handling stuff, but preseason poll, you guys have finished sixth, but last year when COVID and the pandemic struck, you'd won 10 of 13 games. You take anything from that, and how do you transition from how you ended last season, even though it was abruptly, to starting a new year? Is it a completely new year for you?
Yes, completely new year. I think last year we had a very good team. I think our pitching was lined up. We were healthy. The guys were playing well at the right time, believing in each other, had worked hard. You know, I think we, you know, could have did some damage last year, honestly. And I think we started doing some damage. But it's a new year. A lot of the same faces, but a new year. New year brings a lot of different challenges, staying healthy, many different things. So I was excited about what we had last year. I'm still excited about what we have this year. We've got some key, you know, injuries that have gone on. But at the same time, we got some younger guys with the amount of games we're going to be playing on the weekends now, how they change their conference schedule. A lot of young guys will get the opportunity to get in there and get their feet wet, which will only better our team in the future.
All right, so let's start with obviously one of the most important aspects of it, and that's the pitching staff, coach. What do you look like for your weekend staff and your closers and essentially your arms?
Well, you know, we lost a big piece with Eric Orsi last year, and, you know, he was here through, 17 innings, somewhere around there, got drafted in the fifth round to the Mets. So that's going to be a big void for us to fill. But we've got Steady Eddie, Chris Turpin on the mound, be our Friday guy, been here a couple years with us. So he'll still go out there and do that. Then, you know, our Saturday guy was projected to be Hayden Erb. We're trying to figure out how his body's holding up right now, so some hiccups there. Brandon Mitchell, Bailey Holstein, potentially two other starting arms for us. So we got some, again, those guys are all returners, the guys that have had experience. And then bullpen-wise, we'll probably run Cullivan back out there again this year. Jake Lamb can run him back out there. So, again, I think our key pieces are still there. It's just the fact of playing these four-game weekends and things of that nature. It's going to have to be like a little bit more of a chess match, trying to figure out when to use them and when not to use them. And hopefully our offense will give us a little bit of breathing room in that capacity.
Coach, I just noticed when you're mentioning some of those pitchers' names, and obviously recruiting is an important aspect of this. Is that just kind of where it's going in terms of the mound? And I mean size. Lots of 6'3", 6'4", pitchers. You sort of feel that the bigger, taller pitchers is something that you like and prefer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think everyone would prefer a bigger body, right? It just it has the potential to be more. It has the potential to grow into more, to potentially stay more healthy. You know, it's just size has its advantages, right?
Right.
At the same time, I'm not, you know, Lampkin's, what, 5'6", 5'7", maybe?
Right.
You know, Reeves Martin, our closer, who was an unbelievable player the last couple of years, is 5'6". So it doesn't mean it's everything, but at the same time, size does give you a little bit more leniency to kind of buffer if something goes wrong, and the potential, like I said, to be a lot better.
See, there you go. Had a lot of potential at 5'7". I just never materialized, Coach.
That's all right. That's all right.
When you take a look at the infield and the position battles, any key gloves that you're returning? You mentioned you're bringing some of those guys here as back, but do you feel confident with the way your defense is going to play infield and outfield?
I hope so. I sure hope so. You know, we got Willis and Iza back up the middle again. Obviously, Iza was a Gold Glove winner for us a couple years back. So pretty good up the middle. And they've been together for a few years now. Hopefully, they continue to stay fine-tuned to keep that thing going. We got Tejeda behind the plate, very good defensive catcher. In the outfield, now we lost our starting center fielder, Jamarian Crane, is out for the year with an injury. So that's going to, you know, somebody's going to have to step up in that void. But we got Luther Woolard back, Pierce Howard, Gage Howard, potential options in the outfield. Then Isaac Williams, a freshman from Tioga, guy that, you know, got voted preseason freshman of the year in the conference by Perfect Game. So, again, a freshman, but it has the potential to be a good player. So I like what we have. We just got to, again, stay healthy and be consistent with it.
At the plate, how do you feel confidence-wise from that aspect?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Again, I'm basically running my same exact lineup that I had out there again from last year,
nice.
With the exception, like I said, a few new pieces. You know, there's a couple freshmen, Travis Gober and Isaac, who I just mentioned, that have a chance to really be impact guys if they get the opportunity to go out there and do it. Like I said, again, I always revert back to these four-game weekends. It's going to give kids the opportunity to play. I mean, when you're playing – four games in, you know, a three-day period, there's going to be opportunities that, you know, maybe you wouldn't have had before. So I'm excited about the bats. You know, we got Luther Woolard. He's probably going to be the anchor, I hope, to kind of drive balls hitting on the ballpark, that type guy. So they just got to go produce. A couple preseason all-conference ballots, but again, I told him, I said, you don't get an award to the end of the year. So that's what we want.
No doubt. So it kind of seems to the importance, as you mentioned, with those four-game weekends coming up in about a week or two. How important is it that these starts? Obviously, Southern, I see Tulane to start at the beginning, ULM, South Alabama's always been a pretty good team. Is it just about getting some innings under your belt?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Obviously, we never want to lose a game, right?
Right.
If I could go 56-0, I'd be in good shape, right?
Right.
I think it would be real good. I know what Coach Maestri saying, 56-0 or Dean must go. So that's what we always strive for, is the win. But those first couple weeks, they always set you up to – figure out your team, figure out who can do it, who can't do it. You know, if you look back last year, we started out and got our butt whipped opening weekend, struggled. And then, like you said, we kind of moved some pieces around and they all fit together and we started rolling. So it's just early in the season, it's trying to figure out who can do it, who can't do it, and giving people opportunities so when the conference does roll around that you're a little more prepared.
All right, so you got to wait till Saturday before you open up here against Southern, and then eventually we'll get the season rolling here. Coach, looking forward to speaking with you throughout the season here as well. Overall, the Jags, what kind of series are you expecting with them?
Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to it. They've always been a good opponent, right? They play us well. They came in here last year and whipped up on us. So just it'll be a good series for us. They're getting out. They didn't have a series to play as well. So we're just glad to get on the field. Get out there, see what we can do, play the best we can, and try to get our feet wet.
Get the sense, not only from you, from everybody else, just to be nice to get some sunflower seeds, just hear the sound again and just play ball, right?
That's it. It's going to have some challenges. It'll be a little bit different than your usual baseball game, but heck, we're trying to get them out there. From what I've been told, we're serving alcohol too, so that makes it a little more enjoyable for the fans.
Well, there you go. It'll warm you up if it gets chilly out there for sure. Coach, thanks for joining us. Good luck this season. We'll be talking through you throughout, okay?
Sounds great, Gus. I appreciate it, man.
Yep, for sure. Head coach Blake Dean over there at UNO at PrivateersBSB over on Twitter. Check that out. All right. Jordan, you ready for my analogy? Ready for my analogy when we come back? I mentioned it already. It's time to give you the keys. No, not you. I wouldn't give you the keys. I'm giving Zion the keys. Who's with me? 800-998-1003. Y'all with me on this? It's time to officially say, I mean, say it. I want to hear it. I want to hear him say it. I want to hear everybody else say it. It's time for this organization to shave Zion's team. Am I wrong? Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. It's such a wavy
night and you're slipping to insane. Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill here for Men's Total Health. With the new year comes new resolutions. One of them needs to be visit Men's Total Health. Low T can produce physical and emotional changes. Get tested. I did. See where you stand. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, help with ED, even IV therapy. Visit Men's Total Health today, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call or go online at menstotalhealth.net and let them know the Sports Hangover sent.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Come on, Jordan. Come on, I want to hear it from you. Say it nice and loud and proud. Everybody's got to just start saying it. I'm telling you.
Give Zion the keys.
Give him the keys. It's his turn.
Zion, right wing Redick, shot fake, back to Z, splits defender, center of the lane, and the monster throwdown from the rafters.
Look out.
Below. 103-102.
Hello.
No, seriously, it's just time to give him the keys, man. All right, so, Reggie, I'm going to get to you in about 60 seconds here, but I want to set something up. Because it's the only way I can bring the analogy here. By no means am I saying it's time I'm expecting him to be LeBron. That's not what I'm saying. But I think we have to recognize, and I think this franchise, and I think they do to an extent, but it's like the learner's permit. It's time. It's time to hand him the keys. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you like my dad. My dad would let me every now and then, you know, drive maybe from the front of the neighborhood to the back of the neighborhood where we were, you know, before I got my learner's permit, just to kind of get familiar with the car and do that. And I think that's kind of where it was. That's what I was referring to in the opening, I mean, in the 12-15 segment about, look, Brandon Ingram is your guy. He's your closer. And I get it. A lot of people say, well, you pay him like that. Look, he earned that contract. He's a foundational piece. You know, and for lack of a better phrase to wrap your mind around it, everyone since Jordan and Pippen has been trying to find a Jordan and Pippen, right? And then you get the big three and everyone. So you're going to need him. No one's saying, you know, but somebody has to be the guy to an extent at certain points. And that's what I mean by it's time to give him the keys, because you're seeing the growth by the game. And you're starting to see it. But you can also understand, because of his age and where he's coming in, the lack of games, that maybe it's, you know, not something that you vocalize. And this is what I mean. You give him the learner's permit, essentially. It's time for you to drive. Let's go see it. We got your back. You're a better driver, Jordan, now at 21, I'm assuming, or 22, than you were when you were 15, 16.
Absolutely.
Okay. You're going to be a different driver in a couple of years than you are now.
My dad would say otherwise.
Okay. Once you get in a relationship, you have kids, you drive differently. I mean, you should. All right? You should. Like, I find myself telling my wife to slow the bleep down sometimes. I'm like, what are you doing? You got, no, but seriously, you got the kids in the car. Like yesterday, I'm like, you know, when the road's icy, I'm not getting in the car. I do things differently. When I drove to Martin, dude, my Hyundai could have been a Mustang, by the way. I drove that thing, whipping it around Elysian Fields exit. The windows are down. The music is blaring. You're not in the care in the world. Yeah, sure. I had three other kids. I'm in the carpool. I'm driving it. They were just extra cash. But no, they're people's kids. I mean, I see that now. But I didn't think about that back then. And that's what I mean by this. That's why I'm putting the analogy to learner's permit, right? I'm not expecting him to take every single game-winning shot. But from here on out, that guy better touch the ball. That's what I mean by this when I say it's time to give him the keys. Let him make the decision. He had four assists yesterday. He gives that one assist. That's five. They're undefeated. Like when he has five assists. And that's what I mean by that. When he touches the ball, defenses react. When he touches the ball, things happen. It creates space. Parts of the reasons this team has lost the games that they have, they go through periods of stagnation. It happened yesterday. Third quarter, fourth quarter, dribble, 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 no pass, jack up a shot, miss. Dribble, dribble, one little pass, maybe miss. When they pass the ball two, three times, you get a better shot. If you're going to just do one pass, it better be to number one on either block or at the elbow and let him go. That's what I mean by this. It's my one thing I took away from yesterday. I'm not upset or bothered by it. You should have won the game. That's great. They're a little further advanced. But you gave them game. You gave them battle. And here's the thing. That guy right there, number one, was the reason why. And in the fourth quarter, he's showing more and more clutch. You got to find a reason in a way to not go through long stretches in the fourth quarter where he's sitting. You have to find a way to make sure that that's better than that. And in final possessions, he has to touch the basketball, even if it's to give it right back to whatever.
Draw defenders off of the key
All
guy.
I'm saying is, to me, it's the one thing I took away from yesterday. It's time to give him the keys. Period. Everyone else needs to play off of him. Period. Every draft pick, free agency acquisition is to how to better help him. He's the guy that's going to help drive you the car to success. He can't do it alone. It's a road trip. We're all going to be in it together. Shotgun, backseat, somebody brings the snacks, whatever. I get it. But that guy is your driver. If you haven't been paying attention to the last couple of games and you don't feel that way, I don't know what you're watching. He's your best player. He doesn't freak out. Lonzo Ball, 8 seconds. You brick. What are you doing? Relax.
Come on, he's been playing better.
I know he has, but that's my point. It's inherently in you or not. That's what I mean. It's inherently in you or not. It's inherently in that guy. Has he ever looked flustered to you? Does he look like he's freaking out? The problem is he's not there yet. Age-wise, confident, games inside to say, yo, what are you doing? I saw people text yesterday and tweet that he should have walked into that locker room, slammed the door, and said, the next time somebody doesn't give me the basketball, I'm going to throw you through the hoop.
He can't do that, Gus.
He can in a couple of years. He absolutely will, and he should. Learner's permit. He's got to earn that right to get there, though. He's got to hit a couple of shots. He's got to be able to do that.
But
my point is, and that's what I'm saying, and I get it. But you can't earn the stripes if you're not given the opportunity. Right now, he's the best player on the team, period. He's past Brandon Ingram. I could be completely wrong. You'd be like, you're an idiot. I'm just telling you, my eyeballs are seeing what I'm seeing. He's tougher to stop than Brandon. Reggie, thanks for giving a call to show. What you got, man?
That was a long 60 seconds.
I'm sorry. Sorry you had to wait longer than 60 seconds. I got things to do. I got things to talk about. What you got, Reggie?
Yo, Gus.
What you got?
Yeah, man, I was at the game last night, me and the wifey, man. I seen y'all across the way at, y'all was in 111, right?
Yeah, that's where the broadcast booth is. So you did win, Jordan won here. He won the tickets yesterday. And, you said you want to represent and go see it. And you saw Dame Time. So your man, opinion, am I kind of off from what I'm saying? What did you take away watching that game last night?
what I took away from that game, I have to double down on what you said about Zion. It's definitely his team. He definitely should have touched the ball during the last shot. And after, it was not a foul. That was actually good defense on Lonzo Ball against Dame, even though he made the shot and that was not a foul. He didn't touch it. But that's neither here or there. The point I want to make, even if Zion gets the key to the team, that doesn't diminish Brandon Ingram's role as the
100%. 100%.
So because Zion can actually get Brandon Ingram a better shot without Brandon Ingram getting hassled.
Bingo.
So the point I want to point out, I think Billy Hernan Gomez, he should get more touches in the game. Stan Van Gundy kept him on the bench too long last night. He should be averaging at least 15 points and 10 rebounds. He's more of a threat than Steven Adams.
All aboard! I'm just saying, Cajun Goat's already got the train already. He's the conductor, the Billy Hernan Gomez choo-choo train. That's fine, but you're more than welcome. You got first-class seats, man. We'll get you a little coach with the, you know, it's like first class. You know what I mean? You have a little bed area in there and everything, man. We'll put you on the Billy train.
Nah, man. I mean, but I just think he's a threat. You see the three-point he hit from the corner last night? He's good on the pick and rolls. I mean, I think he should get more touches. He can be that third or fourth scorer. You know, and we need to put Eric Bledsoe need to come off the bench, man. He need to come off the bench. I think he'll be a good sixth man, a seventh man, an eighth man.
Tell you what, man, it's hard to look. Billy Hernan Gomez played 29 minutes. He played a good bit. Obviously, Steven Adams, what was it? An ankle injury, kind of twisted his ankle there a little bit. And look, 17 rebounds, 11 points.
But guess what? When we went through those moments of stagnation. Yeah. He was supposed to touch the ball in those moments.
It's always higher?
The game? No, Hernandez. He should touch the ball.
Hernan Gomez? Yeah, Hernan Gomez played 22 straight minutes, man. He was gassed. He needed a little bit of break. And you know what? Look, Jackson Hayes didn't play too bad in the few minutes that he was in there, too. I saw a couple of blocks, some rebounds and stuff like that, you know?
That was a good flash of Jackson Hayes. I think Jackson Hayes was a good matchup against Portland because they had nobody that could compete with his height at that moment. That was just a good fit against Portland.
So you with me then, huh? Is it time to give him the keys, dude? At least the learner's permit. It's time.
I think it's time, man. I actually believe the basketball guys show us that in the last couple of games that it's actually Zion's team, but it shouldn't diminish Brandon Ingram's role.
Not at all. You know, look, I mean, we just saw it in the 30 for 30, the 10-part doc. Jordan flat out said it. I'm not where I'm at without Scotty. And Scotty obviously needed Jordan. And so there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that, you know, when there's runs by the other team, there's lulls in the offense, you know, just kind of look at it. Hey, when's the last time Zion touched the ball? I mean, that's how you have to look at it.
That's it.
That's all I'm saying is when you're sitting there going, man, you know, they're on a 10-2 run. Okay, I gotcha. Hey, hold up whatever finger is, whatever play it is that Zion gets the ball. I mean, that's all I'm saying. That's what I mean by giving him the keys.
I would love to see Brandon Ingram and Zion in a pick-and-roll situation.
Well, that was supposed to be the final play. I'll play what Stan Van Gundy has to say here coming up a little bit. Thank you, man. Hope you